But fun takeaway there. A month ago, I was at Mountain Ops in Salt Lake City, Utah, and Trevor Farnes, who is the founder of Mountain Ops, started off their company-wide all hands meeting with a prayer.
Get
And
out.
it was so cool. And probably 2 months prior, we had our Q1 company meeting, and our COO at the time, Craig Linder, said, "Hey guys, I want to pray over everybody." There's some people that you could tell were like, "Yeah, like 100%, let's do it." And then other people you could be like, "Wait, is this, are we gonna do this?" And I'm so happy that we did, because it just lets us put the purpose and the onus on him, and super, super grateful for that. And I love being able to see how faith is working its way into business, because I think it's a really, really important aspect to delivering a product and service that, we all want to experience, and also one that God's put his hands on.
It's really interesting. And again, you see, there's so much more forward-facing conversation about religion and belief and honoring God. Again, you do it. There's a lot of different people that are starting to do it more and be more vocal. And it's funny coming out of, not funny coming out of COVID, but I've talked to a couple people, and it's almost like this revival type mentality, because people were forced to sit with themselves and be in some quiet and dark places and have different conversations. And I feel as though that a lot of people leaned into their faith to grow and actually get through. And now we're seeing so much more of it, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel like people, whether or not they believe that there's a God, I do believe that everybody has a spiritual side. If they're in nature, if they're experiencing the loss of a loved one, or bringing a new family member into the world, I think everybody has a spiritual tie. And whether or not they could grasp that it's a God or something else, I do believe that people want to believe in something. And when people are open to that and open to the conversation, obviously helps out quite a bit, with people opening up vulnerably, people making strides in their mental health, their physical health, the whole bit. And ultimately it comes back to relationships. So relationship with the spiritual being, relationships with themselves, and then relationships with others. And I think that's what it really all boils down to.
Well, I mean, you guys have built that kind of, that's kind of the onus, a little bit of the Sisu lifestyle, right? I mean, again, when you talk like that relationship piece, and then again, relationship with self, relationship within community, health, wellness, that's essentially kind of what your brand has been built on, yeah?
Yeah, certainly. We, at least with Sisu, the idea was, obviously at the very start, we felt that there was a need in the sauna space, an issue in the sauna space that we felt like we could put a, there's a void and we needed to fill that gap. And I'm so happy that we obviously pulled the trigger on manufacturing here in Ohio with our Amish team and shipping throughout the US. But for us, the objective was always to keep things simple, because in reality, sauna is extremely complex. There's all these different types of saunas and all these different types of heaters and different types of woods and all these different designs and then accessories, and it just becomes really overwhelming. So for us, we wanted to make it a very simple experience. And that was obviously why we saw that there was a need. But once we started moving, we realized that we had this opportunity to do some good. And lean in more on our strong suits and our purpose to be able to help more people not only get into the sauna, but even more so start doing things that are rooted in grit and connection, and ultimately have fun doing things that are hard. And it's something that the United States struggles with.
Yeah.
And the more people that can embrace those things and do it with people that they love, or even people that they've never met before, the better we're going to be as a society.
How do you use the word grit, and I know it's in in the bottom of your emails, and again, it's a brand value, and you guys talk about that, and it's part of the tagline, but what does grit mean to you?
Grit, the easiest way to describe grit, and ultimately Sisu. So Sisu is a Finnish word for perseverance, tenacity, bravery, and grit. But when I look at it here in the US, and specifically the way that I like to live my lifestyle. It is truly the grit over glory mantra. It's something that like really came to me the last 3 months that I'm really leaning in on. Everything that we do, it's more so about the consistent effort and doing the hard right over the easy wrong, not just in our training, not just in our family life, but also business. Sometimes doing like the hard right is not the most cost effective, and I'm okay with that because I feel like it's the right thing. It's what God's asking us to do. And it's never about the limelight or the glory or making that extra dollar or the accolades. I mean, sometimes those things happen, but it's really not about that. It's more so, how can I show up every single day abundantly consistent and present on what I know that needs to be done and make progress? And sometimes that progress requires grit. And I think a lot of people misconstrue grit as this crazy life scenario where people have to go into a brutal health or financial situation, or they're stuck into a crazy scenario. Grit is manifested every single day through the smallest little decisions and actions that are extremely subconscious. It's the grit is staying aligned with your values, staying aligned with your ability to be disciplined and doing the right thing, again, over the easy wrong. And that's what I really view grit as, is always make it's a blend of integrity and consistency. And it's something that, again, that I feel does lack here in the US.
And to me, there's a big there's a difference between grit and the grind, right? You'll hear people talk about, "Ah, oh, I'm on the grind." And there's somebody that told me this, and it stuck with me forever. And I always caution and said, "Oh, I'm just grinding." And it's like, "Hey, be careful. You might grind away to nothing." Right. And think about that, right? Like, because a rock, right? Like, if you got a rock on a grinder, ultimately, or anything on a grinder, it will literally whittle away to nothing. And from that perspective, when people have that grind mentality, "I'm in the grind," like, yeah, and it comes at a cost. And I love how you kind of articulated the grit piece, because again, it's, you said it's consistent, you know, consistent daily actions, how it aligns with your values. And like, it's a state of being. It's not something that you're, like, you're doing and it's like full throttle. It is literally a way of being for you.
Certainly. I feel the grind is, I've been so, I feel like you'll appreciate this. I'm so not about the word grind, because right, there's nothing positive.
No.
About the word grind. No. In any root of the word.
No.
And to me, it's the grind means that there's going to be an end. There's that I'm now on the grind, so I started, and there's going to be an end goal. There's an end finish line where the grind is going to stop. For me, why would I grind away at something when I know for a fact that I could show up on the things that matter the most to me and do it every single day? And in a manner to where I don't need to see a finish line, and I'm not working truthfully so hard that I have to stop at some point. Otherwise there's going to be diminishing returns. And that's the issue, is people are saying, "Man, you've been on a grind." Like, I'm on the, to me, it's such a short-term way of looking at things. Like, to me, I'm working to be the guy 10 years from now where I'm looking back and say, like, "Damn, I'm glad I did it that way."
Yeah.
Not, in 30 days, I look back and I've got a killer YouTube video. Like, that doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. To me, it would be so cool. You know, we've got two kids, one about to be four and one that just turned two. Right now, as it stands, by the time I'm 48, both of them will be 21 years old. So if I'm 48, they're 21. And right now I'll be turning 30 here in a month or so. I've got 18 years, core years, to not grind them away on something that's probably going to be more like ego driven versus like, all right, hey, I'm being called to do something, do it every single day. Whether that's like my health pursuits, my business pursuits, philanthropic pursuits, my family pursuits, and do it in a way to where, like, man, like, he was relentless, but he went about it in a sustainable way and he wasn't a prick about it. It's just, to me, it's really important that we find that delineation between on the grind versus deliberate, intentional, and manifesting through that grit over glory moniker.
Yeah, and you like all for all intents and purposes and everything you see, right? Like you're hustling, right? Like you're out there and you're doing, but like you talk and you show and you do all these things. Like I want to go back to values. You talked values, right? And how all of the grit kind of aligns with those. And values is something that I've recently kind of come back around, or pillars or anchors. And again, mine. It was given to me through prayer. I was sitting in, and it's literally, it's faith, family, fitness, fellowship, fun, and flow. Like the six Fs. Apparently God liked to joke with me and give me some alliteration there. But yeah, it's, those are things that I'm using to test against. And as I'm figuring out, you know, the role and function that I'm in this unconventional role that I'm in, like, okay, what do you want me to do? But like, how did you come up with like those core values or anchors for you? And like, what are those and how do you test against those?
This is a great question. Nobody's ever asked this one.
What? And you've been on some big podcasts, dude.
We're not. I feel like most people, when I go onto a podcast, they'll be like, "All right, let's talk about sauna. How'd you start
Yeah.
to? Tell me about your ultra marathon, and like, I'll tell them about like my dad's story, and then we'll just BS at the end."
Yeah.
So I really appreciate this question. There was never a point where I just one day sat down and said, "These are my values." I never put pad to paper, and just arbitrarily just threw like, "Hey, here's some things I resonate
Yeah.
with." About 2 years ago, though, when my father was going through his health scare, it was like my first like true encounter with my faith. But as a result, I started thinking about like, what am I doing with my time? Because my time is very finite. I don't know when my time's going to be up. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year from now. It could be when I'm 90. I don't know. But I do know that if I act in certain ways and I go through my mental checklist of what makes and constitutes the perfect day, like for me to feel fulfilled and make sure like I'm, you know, acting the right way and acting with purpose and moving with purpose. Like, what does that day look like? And once you start looking at the day, you start being able to say, like, all right, these actions are falling within this bucket, and these actions are falling within this bucket. And so when you strip down each of those pillars, eventually I came to like, all right, well, my health and my fitness really matter to me because it's fulfilling. It's letting me be able to experience awesome races, awesome things, be able to share incredible conversation with people I've never thought I'd ever dream of meeting in my life. It helps me be able to show up better energy wise for my business, helps me be able to share the story better with what we're doing with Sisu. But then ultimately at the end of the day, like what I care most about is that I'm present with my kids. And while I still struggle being present with my kids, like I never want my son to come up to me and say, "Hey," or it would be a huge fear of mine. My son asked me, "Hey, Dad, let's go outside and play, or let's go run around the block." And I have to tell him no because I'm too tired. Like, that's unacceptable to me. So my health is super important. My family's super important. Like, if my health is in check, it helps me better show up for my family, my wife, my kids, my parents, my brother, my sister, my close friends. Those are like the real relationships. When I look back on my life, whenever I'm in my deathbed, and if I were to be looking at the audience at my funeral, I want to be able to say that like that front row of people, that front row is where I spent the majority of my time. Like, those people are the people that are going to move the needle. So I need to make sure I'm present for them and I'm pouring into them. Outside of that, my business is extremely purposeful to me because when I look back upon what we're doing with Sisu, it's just honestly like one of those things where you can't really put a pulse on in terms of like how much of a blessing it's been, because I feel very much like I don't deserve this opportunity. So it's one of the reasons why I feel like I need to act very intentionally with this gift that we've been entrusted with. And so like we're 2.5 years in, and we're not a perfect business. We don't have perfect products, but like we love what we do, and like we're always building, and we're always, you know, building the relationships. But even more so to us, like we never want to be pigeonholed on being content on our products. Like, we're always looking for ways to be able to improve the products, improve the services, improve the market, improve like everything. So that's always like fun, but also it's a never end. It's like a can of worms. Like, you'll never stop.
Right.
You'll never want to stop. But for business, like, it's super purposeful because we get to sell products that make people healthy and also sell products that bring people together in a post-COVID world where people are very much stuck on their phones all the time. So it's a great reprieve for them. And then philanthropically, this is like something a little bit newer, but like with like the amazing tools and gifts that we've been, given, like it would feel off and ingenuine to not do something with what we're doing. And so we had the Nelson Family Foundation that we got started up actually this like couple of months ago that Helen Hogsback lives underneath, which is our charity race. And then we also have our CSU Impact program where every single month we gift a sauna to a person in need. And so it's a huge motivator for us to continue to like, obviously we need to operate profitably so we can give, make sure business stays solvent. But then also, Helen Hogsback is a 12-hour endurance race in Cleveland, Ohio. And we've got different level options in terms of hours ran up and down this crazy hill, but all the registration and all the donation dollars go to cancer patients that can't afford their medical expenses. So between those two buckets, it just ignites the fire every single day to just do the right thing and just make sure we're pouring into the right people. So like when I like really pull myself back on it, it's like my health, my family, the business and giving. Those are like the four main buckets. And it helps me keep things super aligned. And if there's opportunities outside those buckets, honestly, like I don't really entertain them right now.
And like those are powerful buckets. And again, each one has a really cool like story that we can kind of go down. But like, what I want to ask, because I've asked you in passing, right? Like, hey, how you organize your day? I mean, you mentioned the perfect day and all this different stuff, right? Like, what does that look like? And then how do you, and again, we scheduled this about a month and a half ago because you were on your tour, right? Like, and you were out there and do, we'll get to the YouTube stuff. And I can't wait to talk about that. But like, how do you plug and play and keep yourself grounded in all of those four? Obviously, family being super important, health being super important. Like, what does that look like?
It's messy.
Right.
It's messy.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but we're getting a lot better at it. The only way that I'm able to pull off my lifestyle is by getting to work with amazing people that are very much so talented in other areas that I'm weak at. So that way I could just focus on the things that I'm really, really good at. Like the best way to describe it would be, like if I'm a 3-point shooter, like I don't want to be the guy in the key, like posting up like against Shaquille O'Neal and then like coming back down the other side of the court and probably facing like the largest guy on the court. Like it wouldn't make any sense. Like I need to be my strong suit. I need to be coming
Just
off
let Pete shoot. Let him shoot.
shoot. Like I need to shoot, and so for me, I would say like this is again a really good question. The way that I organize my day to be able to best be efficient is over the last number of years, we've evolved systems, my personal systems, to make sure that things are broken down into specific buckets. So whether that's CSU buckets, personal buckets, and then within CSU, it's broken down per department. So I always have a pulse on like whether this is an operational task, a marketing task, owner founder task, a financial task, a CSU impact task. And then for personal, it's whether it's family. So like for it would be like family related, financial related, home related, and then page related. And so from within there, we then put deadlines. Something that like really came to me this the past 2 weeks, something that I was reflecting back upon the last year specifically of like why I've been able to make progress personally, and then also like why we've been able to make progress with Sisu is that we are creating proportionate 7-day chunks that we always can make progress on. So we're never setting to-dos and tasks that are 20 days, 30 days, 40 days out in advance. What we're doing is we're, let's say we have a 60-day task. I'm never going to make progress on a 60-day task unless if I have it broken down into that next 7-day chunk. So every meeting that we show up to, any like weekly task manager that I'll use, it is always broken down to the next 7 days. It's like, what can I do to make sure I'm making progress on this that I know I could do? So by the time I show back up on Monday, I could say that it's actually done. And so what that lets me do is allows me to have like four or five, six separate actions that all compound onto one another. So I could have like this massive action that ended up occurring, but it was really just broken down to these smaller little efforts. So you're just really compartmentalizing the task. So for me, I use Notion and Google Sheets, a hybrid of the two. I've got my personal dashboard on Notion where I have all my meeting, all each of the meetings that I'm in with the meeting agendas. I've got all my like my content scheduling, content strategy. I've got all of our philanthropic giving. I've got all my training and spreadsheets. Everything's all loaded there, and then I'll go in and then essentially make sure like the strategy is solvent and the execution solvent. In terms of a lot of the execution, the way that I'm able to make a lot of progress is having an amazing assistant in my sister. My sister is, and she's the complete opposite of me.
Shout out, Amy. Let's
Yeah.
go.
Amy is the complete opposite of me. I am the lowest detail-oriented person you'll ever meet. I love to chat. I'm very social. I'm very non-conforming and typically careless, and I love like having autonomy over my schedule. So like structure and systems is not my forte. My sister is the complete opposite. Like she needs structures and systems, and she's great at developing structures and systems. She's like an 8 out of 10 on detail if you were to look at the culture index. And she's like lower social. Like she's not the person that's going to come in the room and be like, "What's up, guys? How are you?" You know, but she's definitely like down to like, you know, give you a hug, like ask you how you're doing a little bit. And she like conforms to like an incredible vision. So like if it's something that means something to her, like she will pour into it. So like we've got a really good yin and yang, and having a great assistant in my sister has been arguably she was probably the best hire I could have ever made in Sisu, at least for Sisu at the time and still now, but then also for personal efficiency and success. So between Notion and Google Sheets, we have a really good pulse on things. And I also have this system called the Roadmap that we created that essentially shows every single quarter, like what my key like revenue generating tasks are, my key like foundation day tasks, and then I have a breakdown of the next 90 days per bucket of like a revenue generating day, a foundation day, a goal review day, a personal day. And then we set goals within there, outline it all. So I'll know my schedule all the way through July right now. And then I'll have like all my 10 key projects, like five crucial projects, and then the five ancillary projects from there, the broken down steps. There's like a lot of little things that we've had to like make sure that are true. So that way I could just like execute and not think. And if none of these systems were in place, I would be really, really screwed. We probably wouldn't be talking on this call today.
Oh man. Well, and so I'm very similar to you in the fact, again, social being, like, let's go again, autonomy. Right now I'm a homemaker, right? Like, and Corey and I have been talking a lot about this, that, you know, there's a word that was kind of given to me coming out of 11/11, coming out of a 4-day fast, right? And the word's unconventional. And like, I love the fact that we're doing things unconventionally. But here's the interesting thing, right? You still need to do get things done. You still need to do things. So here, like, here's a follow-up for you. I don't have an assistant, right? Like I'm going to be wrangling the kids here in a couple of months and all this different stuff. Like if you had like one or two things for somebody like me or anybody that's listening, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not a detailed person. Like where would you start? Like what would be like what are the 2 to 3 key tasks you think you'd do?
I think that there's in 2025, you have the ability to leverage artificial intelligence, AI, really, really well.
Okay.
But even more so, what I think is appropriate, whether you're in business for yourself, you're an entrepreneur, or you're like working within a corporate structure, you need to know your own scope of work. So whether that's like if I'm unemployed, I need to know like my scope of work at home. Like, what do I do and what does my wife do? And I need to do those things like really, really well. So I think number one is always knowing like what is your scope? Like what are like the core processes in your day? And this would probably take you half a day to do, like on a weekend. What are the core processes you do every day that are going to give you success? Outline those. And then from there, build out a, you could use a standard Google sheet, you could use a notepad, whatever. And I don't want to call it a task manager, but you definitely need to make sure you have a system to be able to take whatever is going on in your sphere. And like if there's follow-ups, if there's to-dos, if there's projects, like they need to go live somewhere. They can't just live up in your head. So being able to take that and put it onto paper, that's gonna look different for everybody. Like for me, like my system works for me. Probably won't work for you, might not work for somebody else. But being able to see a breakdown of here's my work-related task, here's my home-related task, my personal task, whatever. I think that that is a huge benefit. And then lastly, I really do believe AI is the future. But it needs to be a tool. It can't just be the end all be all. Like people can't just, you see it all the time right now on social media. You could easily tell when somebody's using AI. Even if they've like trained it, like there's just these little things that if you're using AI, you could see. Because I use AI quite a bit, but for me, what it lets me do, it lets me leverage it as a tool for me to be able to make efficiency and progress on time, for me to be able to then take that information and then make a decision on, or to be able to take that and form that in a way that I know is going to be true for success. So whether that's, taking your tasks and or it all depends. Like let's say you have a project at work and you need to create a work back schedule. Like a really good project manager in corporate world is like 120 to 150K a year. I could create an entire work back schedule, like a high level work back schedule on a project by just uploading my vision of this project into ChatGPT or whatever, and it'll create a work back schedule. And now it's a tool that I could then refine and create checkpoints off of and do my brain dumps on, and I could continue to refine it just like an assistant. So I think that that is huge and it's free for everybody. So like everything I'm saying right now is just requires some effort and time, but it lets you be able to understand like what you do best, how you're going to execute on what you do best, and then create efficiency on what you're doing best. So it's those three things could be huge for somebody, especially if you're price conscious or may not have the funds to be able to afford an assistant.
That's right. Those are really good. I like the actually starting with like kind of the like your scope of work or your scope of being per se, right? Like again, what you're good at and understand. Like, I'm gonna ask a question after this, but right now you were talking AI. Do you have a favorite AI? You mentioned ChatGPT. You're using all of them. What's your favorite?
I'm just using ChatGPT right now. I don't pay for it. I just use the free version.
Until
If
you run out of prompts and then it's like you're on 3.5 or whatever.
yeah, exactly. It'll tell me at, it's like, hey, you used me too much. You can't use me again till like 9:20 tomorrow night or something like that. It's like, fine. I don't need to pay for it right now. There may be a day that I will, but I found it to be really, really good. Like right now, I'm using it to, I'm currently using it on a potential first short-term rental down in Nashville. So I'm using that as a way for me to be able to model out a great short-term rental model, and then creating a work back schedule on that of like what needs to be true from what is seen successful in a wellness focused short-term rental, from the time that you accept your first tenant to like where we're at right now, which is essentially the idea phase.
Hey, well, here's the thing. This is a great transition because my next question ties back to something you were asking earlier. So it ties to Nashville and something that happened this week. But how do you date your wife? Like, so again, it's a great transit. Like it was literally like you teed it up, but that was my gonna like, how do you date your wife?
Oh man. Well, my wife's really easy to date because she's my best friend. I love her. She's wicked attractive. But we're going on 7 years of marriage, and like we're just best friends. Like there's times where we could just be with each other and not speak a single word, and it's like the best time because we're just there together. And then there's other times where we're making fun of each other, and then there's times where we get to be parents together. Like parenting's not easy. And you know that. And it's not supposed to be easy, but then we're finding out like how we can make each other better along the way. The way my I'm gonna sound overly structured right now, and I don't mean But my wife and I every Monday have like a weekly business meeting, essentially,
it's smart.
where somebody's gonna tell like whoever's listening to this podcast is probably gonna be like, this guy's full of crap. Like he just said he's not detail oriented. I promise you, it's just like so every Monday, my wife and I meet for 60 minutes and we go through essentially like an EOS L10 structure. So we go through like our scorecards, so like our financials essentially. And then from there we go through like any like major projects that we have going on within the family. And then we go through any outstanding to-dos from last week. And then we go through any issues, opportunities that we need to talk through. And then at the very end, we go through our groceries, our workouts, when we're going to church, and then just like a recap of the meeting. So like that's the agenda every single week. I have so much stuff that lives up inside my head all the time, and I'm not good at like putting it down on paper that I need that meeting. And my wife is also, I wouldn't say like the most detail-oriented, but she's a very, very effective like social communicator as well. And so like we need that time to be able to make sure like nothing's being lost in translation or in the cracks, especially with the travel that she does and the travel that I do. So that Monday is really important. Two, we do a weekly coffee date. No matter what, we always do a coffee date on either a Monday morning or a Friday morning, depending on like the travel schedule, the kids schedule, the whole bit. And then very, very lastly, we always do a date night every week, whether or not that is out or a date night in or we're traveling. We always just try to do our best to like make sure that we actually get time. Like kids are away, like with a babysitter, the babysitter's over and we have time to ourselves. Those are like the most important things that we do every week that are just non-negotiables.
What's your coffee order?
You're gonna judge me on this, but I love it, just a good black coffee.
Dude, that's all I drink. Dude, I'm a pour over freak. Like it's there's no judgment whatsoever. It's just got to be good.
I love black coffee. If I'm feeling like if I trained like in the morning that day, typically my coffee order will be like a honey latte, like a honey cinnamon latte, if you will, just to get some extra sugar in. But my wife is also a black drip coffee drinker as well. She was the one that got me into coffee drinking. I never drank coffee until I met her my sophomore year of college, and then her and her family got me hooked, and I've been drinking coffee ever since.
Do you guys have a favorite bean? Like what's your favorite roaster or bean?
I'm definitely like a medium to light roast guy. I love the
Yeah.
strength of the caffeine. While I do love the taste of a dark roast, I wouldn't be able to tell you like, yeah, here's the bean.
Yeah.
Not that much into it yet, but at home, my wife works for Nestle, and she's got a great job there in the nutrition department, and so we get some pretty good deals on like Nespresso pods and stuff. So it's like really convenient. Just throw like a double espresso pod
Yeah.
in, and it just gets the job done.
I love it, man. Coffee is one of my love languages. I make Corey one every morning. So when she starts her day, we drop the kids off, and I literally go make. Well, unless she's fasting, I'll make her pour over. But literally, I make her a latte every day. It's a we do maple syrup, pinch of pink Himalayan sea salt, and then homemade cashew milk.
Oh, I
So,
love that. I love
yeah.
that. It's
That's
so
like,
good.
and I love doing it. Like, again, I love the process of it. Like
Yep.
it's a fun thing to do. And again, to be of service too.
There's something about coffee that is it just I don't want to call it like sensual, but it heightens your senses. Like it's the touch, the taste, the smell, like you're seeing it. It's just it encompasses everything. So you just feel like cozy and warm. I love making coffee. If I wasn't as I don't want to say like I'm in a rush in the mornings, but like my structure in the mornings is like we're doing this and then we're doing this and we're doing this. Unless if it's a weekend, typically I'm not doing a pour over. Typically I just throw it into the
Yeah.
in the Nespresso machine and call it a day.
Makes sense. What time are you normally getting up during the week?
For me it's like 4:45 or 5. My wife gets up at 4:45 every morning. On a non-training day, I will definitely sleep in probably till like 6:30, like a non-training morning. So like right now, I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday AMs, I'll wake up then, depending on my work schedule or what, if there's travel, then I'll do a run on the Tuesday or Thursday in the morning. So my, I have to, my fitness program is very schedule related, and so I'm fortunate to program my own workouts. And so when I do, I always look forward to that week ahead, in the calendar to make sure that if I am traveling for a couple of days, that I make sure I get my work in, and whoever I'm going to be with, is going to join for that workout.
They better plan
Yeah.
on joining you.
That's for
Like
sure.
that's a non well, but here's the cool thing, right? And again, you and I have talked a lot, like I shared vision around like again our backyard that we're creating, doing all this, but like I mean there's a lot to be said around in the space of like wellness and working out, doing the hard things, using the grit and community, right? Like I can't wait for the day whenever we finish our backyard to where it's like it's sauna, it's cold plunge, we've got turf, we've got like kettlebells out, there's kids running around, I'm serving coffee to people, right? Like all of these things. But like there's so much to, and here's what I continue to like almost a red thread for you. Like you're doing this throughout your life. You're doing life with people and you're doing it intentionally. And I think that that's, man, that's powerful because that's something that I think in many cases I lack and a lot of people have lacked, even especially coming out of COVID. How do you determine, I guess here's the next one. How do you determine who you're doing that with? How do you determine who's like in those circles?
Man, I've really struggled with this early on, and I feel like I've gotten better the last, I would say, year and a half of the people that we're spending our time with. Obviously, like I get along with, like mostly I get along with like about to be parents or like new parents that like are Christian, that are focused on their health and their wellness, and they own a business. Like that's me, you know what I mean?
I was gonna say, you're looking in the mirror.
You know, so like that's easy for me to align with people like that, but I also really, I fully believe that if I'm not around other people that are truly savants or world class in what they do, and they may lack in other areas that I might be strong at, or vice versa. Like, you know, for example, I was in Boise with a UFC fighter, and I've never thrown a punch in my life. I've never done jujitsu in my life, and I was way out of my element, and I was like totally down with that. And but he's an incredible hunter and an incredible fighter, and like so I'm getting to learn from him. And so it's fun being able to balance like the skill sets, but really I believe the people that were very intentional that we're spending time around have very similar values, which are similar buckets that I was illustrating earlier of like the health, the family, the giving, and the business side. And like underneath all that is like the foundations, like my faith. Like I'm not, like I'm being called to do each of those buckets. I'm not just saying that I'm going to do it. Like I actually feel like the fire's lit in each of those buckets. So when I'm getting to meet people and like get to chat about like what I'm doing or I'm asking questions, like you could tell like right away if they are very like value and purpose driven or if they're very money status driven. And I've been able to pick that up and read that really, really quickly, typically in like phone calls. You know, if we're going to partner with somebody, if somebody's like, hey, I want to partner with Sisu, I've also been reaching out to a bunch of other sauna companies, just want to see what you guys could offer. Like, we're not going to partner with you.
Nope. Nope.
Like that to me just screams like I'm in it for the limelight. I just need a sauna, and it doesn't matter what it is, and I'm going to post for it, and like I'm going to look good in it. Like, cool. Like that's not what we do. And so I just like if we're going to partner with somebody, if we're going to hire somebody, if we're going to, you know, spend time with our family, with somebody, they have to be value-based and present. And they also like need to be people that are just like fun to be around. Like ultimately just fun to be around, you know? And it doesn't need to be like crazy complex. It's just like the simplicity of like, are you good people and are we fun to be around? Great, let's just do that.
Yeah. Can you have good conversation? Can conversation flow? Can you be comfortable sitting in the awkward silence and just being in proximity? And like, there's all these different things. And that was one thing that kind of came up for me is like, as you're doing that, I think proximity is one of those factors, right? You mentioned values and all that stuff. Like, if I still lived in Cleveland, Pete, you better believe that we would be vibing every weekend. Again, like, because that's how we operate. But again, proximity is a key. And I think that that's something that in a super connected world like this. I mean, again, you're down at the facility in Burton, you know, I'm out here in Arizona. We're connected this way, but like to be able to be in proximity to people, that makes your circle tighter and it makes those relationships deeper. And I think that that's what we all are continuing to strive for, you know?
I mean, it definitely makes it easier having technology to be connected with people. But I always think about if technology weren't to be here, like what's the right way to connect with somebody?
Yeah.
And that's just in person time. So it's made a huge difference for us, flying to meet people, you know, our ambassadors, our customers, like what have you. Like in person time is king, and it makes people like not only feel good, but I could like sleep well at night knowing that we did the right thing. And
Well, it's
time is just like building the right relationships.
and that's it. What you were saying, talking about before when people are coming and asking about like sponsorships, right? Sponsorships is a trigger word for me. Like that's one of like back my time with Adidas, right? I was partnership manager, and it literally I talked to people. They're like, hey, they come up, hey, I want to talk to you about sponsoring our club. I'm like, I'm gonna stop you right there. We're not doing anything because it's not about sponsorships. It's about partnerships. It's about being in relationship with one another. It's about this being mutually beneficial, and that when things screw up, because guess what? They're gonna. That we're in it, we have grace, and we're in this together. So, like, I love hearing that because, again, not all businesses, not all companies, not all people operate that way, right? It's okay, who's got the most followers? Who's got this? Who's got this? And like, it's refreshing to hear a co-founder of a company like yours talking about stuff like that because it means a lot. I had this really cool idea of like, how can somebody connect brands to the common person, the average person, the person that needs to be that user in an organic way? Because again, organic marketing is something that is powerful. You know, like think about if you receive something for free, you're more than likely to go ahead and talk to people about it. You're gonna tell your family, your friends about it. You're gonna do all these different things. And it's just one of those things that like it was something cool that somebody did for you. And I think that we did a lot of that in my side of things with Adidas. And I think that that's a, I don't want to say a lost art form. I think if done right, done properly, companies can really, really benefit from an organic perspective.
I mean, if when it comes to marketing, you have the organic marketing arm and you have the performance marketing arm. And performance marketing is like super awesome if you know your company is in high growth mode,
Yeah.
and most companies are like venture backed or like private equity backed, or they've got some sort of investor that needs to be able to see like you know dollars and cents, top line and bottom line. And performance marketing like does that. Like you run some ads, here's Google, here's SEO, like all this stuff, great. Like it's gonna give you a return. But the organic side, there's a gray area to that. But to me, like the organic side like tells a story and it tells a narrative. And like to me, like yes, like we have a budget, for a marketing budget, and then we like within each bucket we have specific budgets. But to me, like if there's and we really believe this, if there is a 100% bullseye fit on an organic partnership, whether it's a brand, whether it's a company, whether it's an individual, like what have you, like we will spend the money to like make sure that that person's not only taken care of, but like we build a great relationship because like we value the relationship. And so I think that for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, I definitely felt this way early, especially like once like when things were wasn't as much money coming into Sisu. Like you're looking like really in depth, like the dollars and cents of some things you're like become reluctant to spend. But the more that I realize like money and like revenue and profit, like they're all a tool for you to be able to do something with. And whether that's like organic marketing or performance marketing, that's up to you to decide. But like for us, like 70% of our marketing spend is organic for a reason.
And again, obviously you're talking higher dollar items, which again, that's a different conversation.
Oh,
And
for sure.
again, but like I think about, you know, a lot of these brands, and again, you can create short-term or like lifetime users by spending we did it at Adidas. Again, our landed cost for products wasn't that expensive, right? For me to have a club coach, even if they didn't go with us and they hadn't put their foot in a pair of Ultra Boosts, right? Right when Ultra Boosts were out, it's the most comfortable shoe out there, right? Coach, let me just send you a pair, right? Just try. And again, that goes a long way. And again, like next thing you know, you see, hey, they come up and they, Steve, look, I got a different pair. Oh, like, and that's like it, that's just a cool vibe to be able to kind of create that feeling in somebody that then they've got some brand loyalty now, and it's cool. Like, it's a really neat thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's just, and you also don't expect them to buy. Like,
No,
that's
give
a,
unconditionally, right? Like,
yeah, 100%. Don't expect anything in return. Just that was the right thing to do and you did it. And then, like, that was the result, but you're not expecting a result.
No, man. It's there's a lot there. Like, and again, I know that you guys continue to do it the right way. I know, I mean, we could sit and talk ad nauseum. And again, I also know that you're busy. We've booked some time here, but like, what's something that's sitting in your head or your heart right now that you feel called to share about, or like that you just feel like you want to talk about?
I'll let's talk about YouTube because honestly, like
I was
my
okay, that was on my list, but I
thing right now for me, I've been on social for a bit. Like I don't have a big following compared to a lot of people, but it's just been like very like slow growth on social over the last couple of years. There's like some, things that like fueled like faster growth and everything, but I'm sometimes like it doesn't really matter how many followers I have and whatnot, like because I'm logical in terms of like I like seeing data and how things come through. The last 2 years I've been talking about doing YouTube for a long time and I just never pulled the trigger because I felt like if I put myself out on YouTube, like it's become very vulnerable. Like people go in on me, And so, and then I was just like, you know what, dude? Like if I feel like God's asking us to like do it, like put it out there. And so I'm glad that we did. So now we've got two YouTube videos out there on my personal page, and we've got some out there on a Sisu page. It's just like it's a wild west for me, and it's very new, and it's fun, but it's uncomfortable. And I'm excited for that uncomfortable feeling to probably go away here over the next few months. But it's new, and I need to figure out the right systems on that because I definitely feel very in the weeds on it, and if I'm in the weeds, it's usually not a good thing. So I want to get the next number of videos out there, probably the next 3 to 4 out there of behind Sisu in terms of like building Sisu, and then also like the Real Ones channel, which is all about like our ambassadors and like the people that we're partnering with and like showing like the trips that we're doing together. And then also I'll have my lifestyle, like my training and family, the whole bit. So between those, we'll be putting out a YouTube video every 2 weeks. And probably after like 6 to 7 videos, I'm guessing I'll probably have a really good process built out that I could probably hand off to somebody to like really own. So that way I could like get back to like.
You're not editing and stuff. You got people doing that. I was gonna say.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I really enjoy editing. It's something I've always enjoyed, especially on the short form side.
Same, yeah.
In terms of the time commitment on long form, that's not me. It would take, again, it would just end up taking time away from my family, most likely, or my training, and I don't want that to happen. I would rather work with like somebody young and hungry that we could like work together with. Like we just hired one of my like close friends within the company, Andrew Ditmore, who's 20.
Yeah, I just started following him.
He's my dude. But he goes to Center College, my alma mater down in Kentucky, a 1,200 student
I didn't know
school.
you went to Center.
Yeah,
My
baby. In
man,
here.
the here quick the coach that I worked with when I was at Houston and Cincinnati, Molly Alvey, she went to Center. And that was like,
Wow. Yeah. That's where I got recruited to play basketball. My Army Battalion was at University of Kentucky. So I was on a ROTC scholarship there. Just crazy. But anyways, he goes to Center, plays lacrosse there, and he's like my content, everything content for me right now. And he's doing a really, really great job. And it's super fun because he's very similar to me in terms of values. And it's fun. Like every time we jump on, we're always like, man, it's one of the best times of the week. Just getting to chat through like photo video. Come on.
That's so cool, man. I love that. Like, to me, here's the vision, the image that was given to me, right? Like, and it's the reach back. It's the like that's what you're doing, and you're bringing people up with you. And again, not saying that he's not, but again, here's a young guy that's hungry, has similar vision, similar values, and has a great skill set. But like, you could like And arguably, you could pay for some all this like higher end, but like it's the reach back for me that you're, and that's those are the moments that I think are so powerful. It's like, who am I uplifting and bringing with me so that way we can all keep moving forward? I think that's really cool, man.
One of the coolest things, honestly, was yesterday. If you would have told me that when we, what, 2 months ago, when he signed his agreement with Sisu, now granted he's remote at center, so he's doing a lot of just editing right now. He's not really shooting. When he's home for the summer for 4 months, he'll be like really right at my hip the whole time, which I'm excited about because there's a lot of like content blasts we'll be able to have there. But if you would have told me like yesterday, yes, it was cool to launch the YouTube video, but it was cooler for me to be able to see that Chad Mendes was sharing Andrew Ditmore's content. That to me is like, it makes me almost want to cry. Like, that is so cool. Like, if you would have told me that that was gonna, it's the coolest thing. And that's like what it's about to me. It's not the likes or the subscribers. Like, yeah, it's cool to have that, but like the fact that he got to benefit from that this crazy, awesome, famous UFC fighter, Hunter, got to share his content. Coolest thing.
Dude, that's a testament to your heart, man. Like, and again, that's what, like, and again, that in the time that I've known you, like, that is like, you're a servant leader. You lead with this, just this heart that I think is, man, it's just beautiful. Because again, people don't do that. Like, and again, I'm not knocking this. You've been on some great podcasts. And again, like you said, you talk about a lot of the same stuff, but like, to be able to have this conversation and sit and like, I think that's what's so special about like the art form of podcast and connection and everything. Like, man, like it's like I felt your vulnerability there. I felt like you getting like, oh my gosh, Andrew, like that's what all this is about. It's not about the likes, it's not about this or that. It's the organic feeling and growth. It's how we make people feel and how we're a light to others, man. And you exemplify that. That is so cool.
I mean, that means a lot, man. I don't know, again, I just want to do it the right way. I would feel like a slime bag if I fell asleep every night, just being like it's all about metrics and money and status. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's so much more fulfilling when you get to see others like succeed. Like, that to me matters. Not the yeah, like, don't get me wrong, we need to make sure I can take care of my family, my kids, my wife. It's just so much more fun, like when you, other people get the benefit.
Speaking of other people, I just want to ask, hey, how's your dad doing?
He's a legend, man. He's out in San Antonio right now on a family reunion. I wasn't able to be there this week just because of my travel schedule, unfortunately. But my sister's down there with her kids, so she's got the week off, which
Yeah,
is
she
great.
said she was on vacation because I texted her this morning just to check on in. And she's like, I'm on vacation. I'm like, cool. I'm talking to Pete. Don't worry about it. Enjoy.
But my dad's doing great. He just ran the Tokyo Marathon about a month ago. That means he's officially ran all six world majors. He's going to come with me on an ambassador build in May. We'll be with Sorenex, like the weightlifting equipment manufacturer, and then another one of our ambassadors that's in the area, which I'm excited about. But just to be able to enjoy that time with him is so cool. Yeah, he's doing well. He's fully retired now as well. So, for the listener, my dad is an incredible human being, but even like he's the perfect example of like grit over glory. He has ran 155 marathons or greater distance over the last 13 years, and he had a cancer bout 3 years ago where he had tongue cancer from smoking prior. Where he ended up going in, he had to get his tongue portion of his tongue removed, and when he was there in the recovery room, he ended up having a stroke. And this stroke was a very rare stroke where he ended up becoming debilitated, and he ended up having to relearn how to walk and talk a whole bit. So that was I think it was early 2023, so January 2023, yeah, so 2 years ago now, and within 6 months of relearning how to walk, he ran 40 miles at Helen Hogsback year one, where we started Helen Hogsback as a result of his cancer bout. So he's a testament of like grit and just being a beast of a human. But he's like the ultimate competitor, and I always love making fun of him. He loves making fun of me, and we, nudge on each other all the time. And it's just really cool. I'm always reminded every day. It's one of the reasons why I love waking up early to get like a workout in or a run in, is that I know that my dad's gonna probably run 7 to 8 miles every single day. And that if I can't run 7 to 8 miles and my dad can, I've got the problem. So the fire is abundantly lit every day for me, and I know it is for him because he knows that I'm trying to keep up with him. So
Here's that exact, like, here's your dad leading and you catch it. Like, it's the reach back again. Like, it's like he's doing that to you. You're doing it to the next generation. Like, it's so cool to see it come like this full circle. And I remember meeting him at Running Man. Like, and again, it was just because me and my brother were there, and we saw, and I didn't know it was your dad at the time, but like, we see this guy and he's got all these, the tattoos of like Cleveland and Akron. And we're like, dude, he must be a Cleveland boy, right? Like, and we're sitting, and then come to find it's your dad. And I'm like, oh my, because again, I had heard of this, the story and all that stuff. And it's like, and to be able to meet and then put all that together, it was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, he's incredible. So is my mom. My mom had epilepsy, and so for us, man, like when I was 4, I was in a car accident with her. She had a seizure at the wheel. Had to have emergency brain surgery as well. So both my parents have had emergency brain surgery, and she was a professional softball pitcher, and so she was like athlete of the year 2 years in a row at Lakewood back when there was like a 4,000 student school there, Lakewood, Ohio. That's my alma mater. And so like she's like the ultimate dog, like arguably like the most athletic person I've ever been around in my life. And so is my dad, right? So like my mom's like this powerful, like fast twitch, juggernaut of an athlete. And then my dad's like this incredible aerobic, slower twitch, just like dog of a 3-point shooter, an incredible runner. Like the first time you ran a 4:38 mile on the track. First time you ever did a time, insane. So like I've got a good blend of both of my parents,
Yeah, quite the pedigree.
but yeah, I mean they're both incredible. And so my mom's probably gonna work for the next 6 years. My dad's done. He's not working anymore. They're traveling all the time. My dad's running. He's gonna run a marathon on every single continent. He's gonna do all the world majors, which he's already done. And he's gonna run a marathon in every single state. So when you factor all that in, I have a feeling he'll probably be like one of probably 100 people to ever have done that. I'm
Now,
just
how
thinking
many
about that.
continents does he have so far?
He needs to do 3 more, so he's done 4.
My
He needs to
gosh.
do Australia, Africa, and South America.
Yeah, because you guys did that Antarctica
Yeah.
juggernaut. Oh, was that last year?
Yeah, last year, over a year ago now, which is incredible. That was one of the wild trips, man.
What was the distance on that?
It was 31 miles. It wasn't crazy long, but it was a trail run. It was a ton of fun. Man, and you're running with penguins, so you'll never forget.
Hey, you say I was 31 miles. It wasn't too long. And again, the average person, like, it's daunting. Like, at Running Man, I did the full marathon, signed up for the half. Both my brother and I did the full, and it was like, oh my gosh, okay, you did it. Like, we're good. We joked about it. If we were able to make it back this year, the goal is to do the 50. So we're gonna try and
Oh,
do the
100%. Do it.
yeah. So like that's our goal. Yeah, we haven't made plans to make back go back, but like again, that was you want to talk about a beautiful communal experience. Holy cow.
We're doing Running Man again this year. So if
Yeah.
you want to be part of the Sisu crew, let me know. We could chat after the podcast, and I could see if I could get you in with our like little volunteer squad.
I'm in. I'm
Cool.
in. Yes.
But you have
Yes.
to wear that shirt the entire time.
The entire time, that's fine. I will. It'll be sting. I mean, look at this thing. Everybody is watching. Like, you want a sauna? Come
Yeah,
on.
I love it.
Well, my favorite. The Saturdays are for saunas. I wear that almost every Saturday. Everybody just kind of looks at me. We're out here in the desert, right? And they're like, "Wait, what?" Like, yeah, every day is a sauna. You know
Yeah,
what?
hundred
Oh
percent.
my goodness. Well, Pete, let's work to close here. I want to see like. Man, what's on your heart? Like, what do you want to leave? Like, if this is kind of one of the last times you get to speak something out there, right? Not it's going to be, but like, what do you want to leave people with?
To me, I just want people to have a great time hanging with good people, doing the right things, doing hard things consistently, whether those hard things choose you or you choose the hard thing. That's what really matters to me that I hope more people do. And it doesn't need to be crazy complex. When you like really look at like what you're being called to do, like do more of that and like don't stop doing that. It's really easy to get distracted, but ultimately for me, the reason why I've been able to make progress and things that like matter to me is that I've been able to simplify and just do the things that move the needle and like do more of those things. So that would be the big takeaway.
Yeah, I felt like you were speaking right to me. I've gone back and forth so much with the podcast and all this stuff, and I'm looking at a list of people that said they'd be on, and I've got like three in the hopper that I have to edit. And I know this is something I'm good at, and I know it's one of my giftings because I can create space for people to be and do and feel and be vulnerable and all that. And I felt like you were speaking right to me there. So maybe you were. I'm grateful for that. I want to make sure that I honor you. Again, I know that you are busy, and I want to honor Amy for helping get this block for us to kind of to connect. But like, Pete, you are leading from the front, man. You are an example. Again, I'm a husband and a father, and I sit and I look at you, and here you're building a business. You know, you're a fantastic husband, a father, a son. You're doing all of these different things, and sometimes I wonder how I can be more like Pete. And so I want to say that to kind of keep encouraging you. I know God is working through you. He's connected us for a reason, but like keep leading, keep putting it out there because again, you inspire people like me and there's so many times that you don't hear it. So I wanted to make sure that I honored you and let you know that like, man, you're an inspiration to me. I look up to you. So I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And when we got connected, I didn't know like what would come of it. And you never
No.
like go into relationships thinking about that, you know. So I just knew that like you were a good dude, and I wanted to just always make sure we were staying in close contact. And there's like one takeaway that I felt like you do exceptionally well is obviously like you create space for people to just authentically express themselves, but more so. I've got probably like three to four like key people on like my faith side that like really keep me honest, and you've been one of those guys. So I really look forward to continuing the conversation and everything, but you definitely sharpened like the sword for my faith for sure.
Dude, that means the world to me. That's something I've really been trying to pour into. I'm getting emotional off of this. Just because, like, again, how I'm trying to continue to try to figure out how I can be a better leader, be a better man of God. And so, like, that hit me. So I appreciate that. Because, like I said, we don't know the impact we have on people unless somebody tells us. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One last question as I'm wiping away tears. Appreciate you. Thanks, man. You're the one that's supposed to get emotional or something like that. But all right, this is a new one for me, and I'm stealing it from Todd. Right? I see the Unfiltered Waters hat up there with Katie and all that stuff. But like from Todd with his Beat the Heat podcast. But like I love how he asks people who he should have on, and so I'm gonna test that on out here. And because the other thing is, I like Diary of a CEO. You know, Stephen Pressfield. When he asks, they leave the question behind. I think that's cool, and I may evolve it. But like, here's what I want to ask in close, right? Who do you think has a story that should be told, and that I could help create space for?
There's so many good people. This is really, really difficult, man. I know so many good like stories.
Go with a couple of them. I mean, again, and because I'll tag them, and then I'll work on connecting with them. Because again, like I think that my thing, everybody's got a story we're sharing. I just love being the megaphone to be able to bring it to the ears of people it needs to. So whoever comes to mind, whoever's on your heart.
The first person that I think of, you don't know him, his name's Andy Tran. He is our chief marketing officer, but he is a founder of eight different companies and sits on the board of 12 different companies. And he's built several like eight-figure businesses, mostly in the defense and ammunition space. And he's one of the most incredible creative minds I've ever seen. But he is extremely tied in with his faith. He's got three kids, a new one that just baby girl that just was born about a month ago, but he's exceptional. And he's here local to Cleveland, but he's been on a number of podcasts recently, and he's typically the guy that's way out of the limelight. But he's truly incredible. Another person I would say would be Trevor Farnes, the founder of Mountain Ops. I think you guys would get along really well. And he's just the real deal. And I would say like those two specifically.
Sweet. I love it. I will write those down and I will connect. And again, if I need help connecting, I'll be sure to reach out. But like, man, Pete, this has been a gift for me, and I hope it was for you. And again, man, I'm just grateful to be on this journey called life with you, man. You're a great friend, a great brother, and I'm grateful that we sharpen each other, man.
Yeah, likewise, Steve. Really appreciate it.
My brother. Well, for everybody listening, Pete, real quick, where do they find you? What's the best place to connect and find you?
You could find me on Instagram at Peter Nelson II. You can find more about me on the Sisu Lifestyle website, so sisulifestyle.com. There's a new founders page on there. Now YouTube as well. Peter Nelson II there. Try to keep everything streamlined. And if you want to like learn more like outside of just this conversation that Steve and I had, there's a few different podcasts that I've been a part of, fortunately, that have been able to go in depth on like sauna benefits, science, like the origin story of
Oh
Sisu.
yeah, all the other stuff, right?
So.
A fun fact, I didn't know if you know this, I'm a second as well.
Oh, cool. I love that, man.
Yeah,
Love that.
I didn't
I love
realize it.
the
So
first so much that the second had to come about. I love that.
I mean, come on, let's go. My brother, I appreciate you. I'm sure we'll talk very, very soon.
Yes, sir.